Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Is that all there is? Back in the 1950s and 60s, one of the best-known female singers was Peggy Lee. She had a hit song that was entitled, "Is That All There Is?" And it has to be one of the saddest songs you will ever hear. The singer begins by telling of a time in her childhood when she stood on the pavement watching a home burn to the ground. Then she sings, "Is that all there is? If that's all there is, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball, if that's all." She speaks again, telling of going to a circus and enjoying seeing the clowns, the trapeze artists, the various animals, and so forth. Yet when the entertainment is ended and it's time to leave, she again sings, "Is that all there is?" Then she speaks of being in love with one of the most wonderful boys in the world. She tells of the joy she had when she was with him. And then one day, he went away, and she thought she would die. So she sings hopelessly, "Is that all there is?" Toward the end of the song, she says people may ask, if her life is so tragic, why doesn't she just end it all? Her answer contains the saddest words of all. She says, "Oh no, not me. I'm in no hurry for that final disappointment." Yet in the meantime, she will keep on asking, "Is that all there is?" This song was taken from a story by a German author some of you may know, Thomas Mann. The article of the story was called Disillusionment. In the story, one of the characters says, "Do you know what disillusionment is? Not a miscarriage in small, unimportant matters, but the great and general disappointment which everything, all of life, has in store." The character goes on to say that all of the great experiences of his life have left him with that feeling, "Is that all?" It's no surprise that this Nobel Peace Prize laureate lived during the rise and fall of Adolf Hitler. Many in that day were filled with disillusionment and disappointment. Both the song Peggy Lee sang and the story that inspired it are real downers. They proclaim that this life is a miserable experience, and what happens at the end of it is nothing but a final disappointment. I believe we can all understand the feeling expressed in the song. Surely everyone has had a blue period in their life. Life for each of us has its down periods as well as its up times. And sadly for some, the down times seem to overshadow those up times. Perhaps that's why some 30,000 Americans each year decide to end it all by taking their lives. How should Christians feel about the whims of life, the highs and the lows, the brights and the blues, the sometimes long periods of pain and the seemingly short times of joy? There are plenty of times in life when, regarding troubles, we ask why. Why should this setback, this loss, this agonizing, persistent pain cling to me? Truth be told, God has yet to explain everything to anyone. So we are left with faith trusting that God will help us make some sense of life sooner or later. Either that, or we are left with a life that is meaningless. We who follow Christ have been given a gift of faith so that we trust that the creator of this fascinating puzzle we call life understands clearly the entirety of our lives in this confusing world. We trust that God will see to it that our lives ultimately make sense and will be resolved with victory for us. We remember so well Paul's words. We know that all things work together for the good of those that love God. The hard and glorious truth of our hope centers in the glorious God, the glorious good news we celebrated some 5 weeks ago. That is Easter. We should never underestimate the great significance of the resurrection. For it, above everything else we believe and teach, spells out most clearly the foundation of our hope. It is the bedrock of our beliefs. The Apostle Paul explains that clearly when he says to the Corinthians, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." If for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But then further on in the chapter, Paul states the reality of this matter. "Thanks be to God," he says, "who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And there you have it. Life today, as well as the end of life at some future time, always has something more to offer. There is more to come, and if we believe the Bible, it gets better as we enter eternity. This life is not all there is. For us, there is no final disappointment, but rather victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Christian perspective. That's the Christian hope. And that is what we believe. And that's what will see us through these rough waters of life. There's a cemetery stone that I'm often fond of reading. On the tombstone, this is what it says. "Here lies the body of Solomon Pease, under the sod and under the trees. Pease is not here, 'tis only the pod. Pease has shelled out and gone to God." Well, did not our Lord say in today's reading, "Because I live, you also will live"? But the question most of us have is, what about now? Of course, our life in eternity is in the future, but what about our lives in the here and now? Frankly, as servants of Christ, we have lots of work to do. Too much work to ask, "Is that all there is?" We have a message to deliver worldwide. We have loving service to perform. We have good deeds to carry out in the name of God. We have justice to seek and mercy to extend. We have children to educate and the Word of God to proclaim wherever in the world it needs to be heard. We have orders from Christ to obey on a daily basis, orders we follow not because we have to, but out of love for what Christ has done for us. Listen to these words of our Lord found in today's reading. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me." That is our mandate, loving God by obedience and service. As we might expect, there is a hope which accompanies these words of Jesus. If you continue on into John 14, to the verses just beyond where our reading ends, we see where one of the apostles asks Jesus, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answers, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them. And now here's the hope. And we, the triune God, will come to them and will make our home in them." So we have a very present help right here and right now as we go about our Master's work each and every day. We have a loving companion who stays with us in the here and now. We have the risen Christ as our eternal friend. And that's why we find meaning in our daily life. That's why we eagerly perform work for the kingdom of God as needs arise. I always marvel at what our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod can accomplish. Our churches bind together in service to God. And we support many organizations such as the Lutheran World Relief, because we know that our combined efforts bring needed aid for many crises around the world, and even now during the current COVID pandemic. And with those also, there are scores of organizations in our country that have their eyes on injured veterans, families of fallen soldiers, police, and firefighters. There are other organizations like Franklin Graham's Samaritan's Purse, Food for the Poor, working diligently to end hunger in America. Our gifts to World Vision and Compassion International are supporting kids in deprived and war-torn parts of our world with medical aid, food, and clothing. In 26 years, I couldn't even begin to tell you how many organizations our congregation has supported. Your gifts have reached nearly every continent where there's need. Our quilting ladies who make these wonderful warm quilts to give to people to comfort them, people who have absolutely nothing. We have VBS programs with our pennies, dimes, nickels, quarters, and dollars that have been given to missions in Haiti, Guatemala, Mexico, and even locally in East St. Louis. We also have members who individually have done courageous things. For instance, Stephanie Williams, who went to Liberia several years ago to help pregnant mothers during the Ebola epidemic. It was a dangerous work, but she went willingly and even gave serious thought to returning. Brittany Sterling has led an organization which raises funds to help provide water filtration systems to the remote and poorest villages in Africa. Dorinda Werner, our former DCE, has recently done some mission work over in the Republic of Congo. And before that, she would often go to Guatemala, Panama, to do work in orphanages. We have an honorary friend, as I call him, in Chris Michael. Whenever there's a catastrophe in some part of our country, Chris packs up his supplies and heads into any part of our country to clean up and maybe rebuild homes that have been devastated by tornadoes and hurricanes. Many of you, for some 18 years, had joined us to drive 730 miles to Camp Pioneer in Angola, New York, because the camp was about ready to close down. It was dilapidated and distressed, and your efforts helped to bring that camp back to life. You have all helped to support some of these folks even when you weren't able to pick everything up and go. But I'll bet if you asked any one of these people involved in these missions of mercy, did you ever say to yourself, is that all there is? You would get the same answer. What? No, never thought it. Those of you who love God and follow Jesus may have not even realized it, but it is likely that you and I, by our gifts of muscle, money, goods, or prayers, have been agents of mercy. We have been servants of Christ. When we are involved in service to Christ, it is not likely that we've been bored with life and asked when we went to lie down and go to sleep at night, is that all there is? I don't think so. You see, we've been so concerned about serving than to become jaded and despairing and bored with life. There is nothing more satisfying than to serve Christ. And when you do, the world receives great benefits and God receives the praise. I'm always amazed with the people in our congregation who never speak a word of what they're doing. There's many stories I could tell you. But they give of themselves willingly and jump in every time there's a need. And I know where you get your willing hearts. You love or serve God because He first loved or served you. You see, a willing heart is our joyful response. And that's all God asks of us. If willing hearts are offered in love and service to meet human needs, we'll not have time to ask, is that all there is? In this world, there's always going to be challenges and excitement, things to bring joy to us on a daily basis. And when you live this way, the phases of the blues will be short-lived, and the downtimes will be overwhelmed by extended phases of fruitful and joyful kingdom work. So let us find joy in loving service until we learn just how much more God has in store for us on the day of our resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.